How y'all doing? Praise the Lord. So what y'all been up to? Anybody done anything cool this summer so far? Oh, that's right. Miss Sarah was at King's Island yesterday. Praise the Lord. Didn't get home till 3:30. Wow. I can remember those days. I remember taking youth group up there and not getting home till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I praise God for Holiday World now. Really, and they got some good coasters too. First Corinthians chapter 9. You know, you can always get ministry out of anything, even a King's Island trip, you know what? Jason, you remember what we used to do on the way back from King's Island? Or do you remember that far back? Maybe you didn't go. We had all kinds of lost kids come because everybody would like to go to King's Island. I mean, we had a whole school bus, church bus full of kids. I bet we'd have 30, 40 kids sometimes, and, you know, probably only half of them were from youth group. But we would always stop. We would stop right where that memorial sign was, the most fatal bus crash, and I forget how many died, but it was May, I don't even remember that, but May 14th, and how many died on that bus? It was a huge amount of kids. Yeah, you're right. It is May 14th, 88. But I remember we would stop there, and the kids would already be crashed out asleep, you know, so they would kind of be in a bad mood because you'd have to wake them all up. And you'd start telling them right here where you sat. In fact, you could still see the burn. The asphalt was still discolored where the flames had melted the asphalt. And that was a sobering moment when you said, you know, there was a whole busload of kids just like this. Probably most of them were asleep. And this horrible tragedy happened, and however many, because it tells on the sign, however many were killed, they were just like you. How many? They had 67 people on that bus, 27 of them. And a lot of them were burned. And if you've ever been to any evangel, there's this young man, he's a black guy, but he's got a lot of pink. You know, he was badly burned, but he's just going after Jesus. But a lot of these kids, you got to remember, they did not know Jesus. And so you got to use every opportunity like that. But anyway, there would be kids that would hold their hands up to receive Jesus and give their lives to Jesus because of that fact that these kids, you know, they could relate to a bunch of kids that just had a good time at King's Island, and all of a sudden they were like swept into eternity. And nobody had a clue. Yesterday we were coming back from a birthday party, and traffic just boom, stopped on the bridge. And so I had this feeling it was a motorcycle accident. So me and Don, you couldn't see nothing. There was semis and stuff. But we just started interceding and praying that God would save people and he would keep people from death. We went by there, and sure enough, there was two, one up against the retaining wall and one in the middle of the pavement. And it looked really bad, and they didn't have helmets on. Of course, I wouldn't have either. But, you know, you prayed and you believed God. And like I say, there was no reports of fatalities. So I believe God is going to use that for his glory. But he puts people so they can pray. You know, every situation, God has got his people that they can pray. And I'm just saying that because Donna said, does that make you afraid to ride anymore? I'm like, no. I mean, God's going to watch over me, and it just doesn't scare me. Are you going to start wearing your helmet? No, God's watching over me, but I'm not. I guess just to say that when you belong to Jesus, you shouldn't tempt death. But what I'm saying is you've got to go on with life. You can't be afraid of everything. And so I praise God that He's given us that assurance, and He's got that spirit of fear off of us. And when fear tries to raise up on you, you've got to know where it's from. It tries to get on you, don't it, Kristen? You know, it tries to get on all of us. But you know, you've got to rebuke that thing. You got to take authority over that thing, and God will set us free. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:24. And I just want to preach good news to you. I know I could tell you how bad things are all around us, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because just like that, when we go out every morning knowing that God has our back, amen, He does, it's just like that. You know, God is going to take the worst of times, and He's going to make it the best of times. He's going to take times like this and turn it into revival. I praise God so much your friends came out. He takes the worst of times, and He makes it into the best of times. God is so good. God is so good, man. And I'm telling you what, I believe that we're going to see the things we've been craving for and going after for so long, Sarah, just so long. We've been craving for a move of God. We've been craving for revival. And I'm no longer going to compare it to something in the past, because I think it's so much bigger, and I think it's so much different than anything we've ever experienced. Praise the Lord. So right now, you guys are sergeants, drill sergeants, warriors, warriors in waiting. How does that sound? You're warriors in waiting. I don't know where Cy is. I'd say something to him or Mike, but they're both gone. Well, Aaron, praise the Lord. Aaron was a Marine. Aaron, no, you are a Marine. Even though you're in the Army, I know once a Marine, always a Marine. But my brother, and you probably relate to this, you've been deployed, so you've actually been over in a war zone. But my brother was a pilot, and I think the first Iraq war, that's been a long time ago. My brother's been gone a long time, but he was so upset one day. He called and he said, "Mark, you won't believe what they've done to me." I'm like, "What did they do to you?" He said, "Since I've got children and one on the way, they will not let me go and be deployed to Iraq and fly sorties." I'm like, "Well, duh, praise God you don't have to." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "I've been trained for this. I've been waiting for this all my career, and now I can't go." Even though you don't like leaving family, you kind of feel like you've been raised up for something, and you're honored to go. No, don't shake your head. They are. Aren't you honored to do what you've been trained to do? Well, no, I don't want him to go again either. But what I'm saying is if you've been trained, like Danny's a firefighter. I mean, I know you was on a volunteer fire department for years. I don't know if any of other of y'all do or not, but Danny was trained and trained. He went into burning houses, and you did all kinds of stuff. And you trained and you trained and you trained and you trained. And then they tell you, well, you can't go on a real fire, but you're trained. You know, if you never get turned loose to do what you've been raised up to do, what sets in? What would you feel if you never got to use what your giftings were? What's that? Feel useless? Kind of feel like I've done all this training in vain? Would you kind of feel like, why did I kind of like some stuff you learn in school sometimes, you know, and I'm not against school, but I learned a whole lot of stuff. It's like, okay, when am I going to use this algebra that I didn't do too well in? But, I mean, you want to use, what are you laughing at, Ann? You want to use what you've been trained up to do, right? Yeah, it's in you and it's just dying to bust out. And guess what? When you first get into the real situation, it's not like the classroom situation, is it? Not at all, is it? But it has given you a base where you know some stuff. Well, anyway, this is Paul talking in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Say, I thank you, Jesus, for giving me your word. I thank you, Jesus, that your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if it was good for Paul, it's good for me. And he was a warrior, and I desire to be a warrior. He was a winner, and I'm a winner. He was a warrior, and I'm a warrior. He run a good race, and I'll run a good race. Not because of me, Lord, but because of you and your Holy Spirit that you've placed in me, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's read this just like we're talking this, okay? Do you not know, or don't you know? I don't know why Paul, he got a lot of wordy, didn't he? He was a smart guy, you could tell. Don't you know that those who run in a race all run? Boy, that's deep, isn't it? But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. So it says everybody's running a race. Everybody's running this race called life, Jamie. Everybody. And you know, I think you could read this as there's only a few Christians that are going to run hard enough and finish in first place. I don't believe that's what it's saying at all. I believe what he's saying there is there's many who are running the race of life. There are many who are religious. There are many who are worshiping different gods. There are many that are sincere. But there's only one way that's going to get us to the finish line. There's only one way where we're going to get that crown of righteousness that's been laid up for us, praise the Lord. Deb, there's a crown that's been laid up for you, praise the Lord. It's sitting up there in Tiffany's up in heaven, man. It's getting polished. And as you do works for the Lord, and Jason, as you do works for the Lord, as you do works for the Lord, every time you do something, a jewel is being placed in that crown. A jewel, a diamond. I never forget there was a sermon one time at Brownsville, and Steve came out and he was talking about a crown being laid up, and he put on this Burger King paper crown. You know, they used to, I don't know if they even give them out anymore. Now they do rainbow stuff. No, really, they do. But he said, the crown is not about you, Deb. It's not about you sitting there going, oh, look at me. I've got a beautiful crown. It's that you can put it at the feet of Jesus, you know. And he said, when I get to heaven, I don't want no stinking paper Burger King crown to lay before my king. I want an imperishable, I want a golden crown. I want silver and jewels and diamonds and rubies. I want to give God the best. Praise the Lord. And you got to look at this. He says that athletes, I don't know if you know anything about people that do the Olympics or do that figure skating, and you could think, well, that's just, no. They start when they are little kids, and they spend long hours, and they probably do school on the side, but their main goal in life is to get a gold medal. And they give everything they've got to get a gold medal. Football players will give everything they've got to get a Super Bowl ring. I mean, it's all about that one moment. College teams will do whatever it takes to win that NCAA tournament. That's what it's all about for them. And so it says, if people like NFL players, if people like figure skaters, if people like basketball players, if people like race car drivers will give up everything, they'll lose sleep, they'll work out, they'll hurt their bodies, they'll buffet their bodies day after day after day after day after day after year after year after year. If they'll do that to get a ring that's going to perish, to get a crown that's going to fade away and melt, how much more should we give everything to follow Jesus? And that's hard, isn't it? Shelby, is that hard? I mean, you think about all the choices in life. You think about all the things that are pulling on you and things you want to do and things you want to own. But really, it all comes down to the crown. And you know, someday, Aaron, you know what? When we see Him as He is, and we're standing all eternity, and the only thing you've got there is the deeds you've done for Jesus, and the only thing you've got there is the people that God has used you to draw into the kingdom of God, you will think, I'm sure, because it says He's going to wipe all our tears away, I'm sure you're going to think, oh God, I wasted so much time on things. I wasted so much time on stuff that didn't matter. It was very important at the time, but I wasn't thinking spiritually. Let's read another scripture. Philippians 3. Verse 1. This is a pretty long section. I just want to read it because it says so much. It is so deep. Finally, my brethren, starting at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but it is for your sake. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Did you get that? We worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. What's it say? Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have how much confidence in the flesh? Have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I have more reason. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I was from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. I locked up Christians. I had them put to death. I did everything that the Jewish law told me to do. And concerning the righteousness, which is the law, I was blameless. He never broke any Hebrew laws. He kept every law. He washed the right cups. He ate the right food. He did the right sacrifices, everything. He said, everything I did was according to the law. But what things were gained to me, see? What things used to be gained to me that used to give me fulfillment, that used to give me confidence in who I am, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss. How many things? I think all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as what? Rubbish, and I think in some translations it says dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Listen to this verse. It's so powerful. I've done all this so that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His what? The fellowship of His suffering. Being conformed to His what? Death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected. He's saying, man, I don't have it together. I still do a lot of things I shouldn't do. He was far from perfect, but he laid out who he was, and we know how what a great man of God he was. But even at that, he said, I'm not bragging about myself. I'm telling you this so you'll understand what I am and why I am what I am. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What did he be talking about there? Forgetting those things that are behind. What would you get from that? Your past. It's behind you. It's behind you. It's in the rearview mirror, right? And it's fading quick, right? I mean, you shouldn't litter, but if you threw a piece of paper out the window and intended to leave it there, you probably wouldn't look back in the mirror and go, oh, you know what? I'd really like to have that piece of paper back. And you'd make a U-turn and you'd go back and pick up that piece of paper. Same thing with salvation. Did you ever notice how things that used to excite you, when you came to Jesus, did you notice the things that used to excite you and really pull your strings started losing their... Yeah. I mean, like, I got a motorcycle again, but you know what? Don and I had been saved, I'd say, less than a year. And I came home from work one day, and it was probably in cold, cooler weather, and I went out in my little shop, and I opened the door, and I noticed something. My motorcycle was gone. Got stolen. And I'm like, me and Donna met on that dude, you know? We were crazy on that thing. And I loved riding my motorcycle. And I came out there and I'm like, oh, what is this? So I called the police and they said, oh, that's just tough, man. You know, basically, they didn't even come out and make a report. Seriously. They said, it's probably already parted out in 1,000 pieces. I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably true. No insurance. And so I had a couple of friends I knew, and like I say, I was trying to walk with Jesus now, and I had a